So our theme is hope today, and as we encounter scripture, we're encountering two, and one, the first one from Isaiah, I love, and it speaks of hope. It's like the best birth announcement ever, and I love the hope that it speaks. The second scripture, however, is a little more troubling as we speak about hope. And I have to tell you that I actually don't love that we've got this scripture on this week when we're talking about hope. So I invite you to hear both clear words of hope and also a little bit of trouble as we begin to hear.
Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. A child is born to us, a son is given to us. And authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of God for the people of God.
So here's what I find troubling about the wise men. It's as if when we put out our nativity scene and we have the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and we have the shepherds and the sheep and maybe an angel sticking there, and then you've got the wise men and their camels, to be true to it, you kind of need to go into your kids' toy box, dig through their Star Wars figurines, you know, maybe Andrew Marker's toy box too, and grab the Darth Vader character and then stick him smack dab behind the camels. Because that's really what's going on here. You see, in the story itself, we have the angels singing, we have the shepherds coming, there is hope, and what Isaiah says is so true, a son shall be born for you, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There is beauty in that silent night. And we experience it when we light candles and sing. There's just beauty in those moments. There is hope in those moments. And then Matthew, in his second chapter, introduces us to the wise men. Now, they may or may not have shown up at the manger. In fact, likely not by the time you see the star and then you travel and you do all the things that happen. We don't know exactly when they came, but that's not this conversation. This conversation is that when Matthew introduces the wise men into the story, there is a certain beauty that people that are powerful, people that have wealth, come and they kneel at the feet of the child Jesus. There is power in reminding us of where real power is. But when you introduce the wise men, you've got Darth Vader lurking in the background. Oh, he's called Herod in this translation. You've got a crazy despot of a ruler who is already doing things that terrify his people. And this crazy despot who has fingers throughout the kingdom to keep a thumb on the people to make sure he knows what's going on so he can keep his power, hears that there are three wise men that are seeking another king. Well, now, when you're the king, to hear that there are wise men seeking another king does not bring you joy. In fact, Scripture says that Herod was frightened, and it said, and the whole nation was frightened along with him. Because when your crazy despot is frightened, then you better be scared too, because you don't know what he's going to do. And so Herod is frightened, and so he calls the wise men, and he says, oh, I'm so happy to know that there's another king out there. I'm just so happy about that. And I would love to come and worship this other king that I'm just so happy about. And so they say, okay, and they go off to find the king. And they do find Jesus, and an angel warns them in a dream to go home by another way, and so they do. But Matthew, in his second chapter, has introduced Herod already. And I wish that were not so. I wish that we had a little more time to live in hope. I wish that we had a little more time to hear the angels sing. I wish we had more time to worship the newborn king with just the shepherds and the sheep and Mary and Joseph and enjoy the beauty of the moment. But no, chapter 2, we've got Herod lurking behind the wise men. We're talking about hope today. And it's true not just in Scripture, but in life too. I would love to expand those moments of just pure hope. I would love to have those moments lengthen when the baby is newborn and smiling and gurgling and happy, and not the diaper situation and the cries all night and all those other things that kind of break those beautiful moments. I would love for good things to happen and that to be the final word and just to rest in the goodness, but that is not true, because good things happen, but then also bad things happen. We live in a frail and broken world in which hope can be elusive, hope can be fleeting, hope can vanish altogether. It can be hard to be people of hope in this world. And worst of all, it can get to where we don't even realize that we've forgotten how to hope. And when we forget how to hope, then the world is just sort of monochromatic. It's just sort of empty, but we don't even realize what it's like because we've forgotten what hope was or we never knew. What does it look like to regain hope? So there's a company you may have heard of called Inchroma, and they have developed glasses to help those who are colorblind to see colors again. You know, you don't think of colorblindness as being that big of a disability. You just memorize the stoplights. You know that red is on top, so you stop if the top light's illuminated and that the bottom one is green. You can go when that one is illuminated. If you're colorblind, you might get somebody who can see color to help you with your wardrobe, maybe to put tags on different things or organize your closets so you know what to wear. But you can still see clearly. It's just sort of a black and white world. But think about that for a minute. If you were colorblind and came into our sanctuary today, all of the poinsettias that are around us that are so beautiful and red and green, those are the colors that are usually most affected, you would just see a panorama of gray. So this company called Inchroma has developed glasses to allow people that are colorblind to see color. I want you to see what that looks like the first time for people. If it feels like that, to see color when you haven't seen color. What does it feel like to see hope when you have lost hope? You see, the good news of Christmas, of Jesus coming, is that we do have hope, that we can see the world through the eyes of hope, through the lens of hope. that our hope is not dependent on our circumstances. Our hope is not dependent on things going well for us in this moment. Our hope is not dependent on finding the right present under the Christmas tree. No, our hope is real, and it's given to us by the Christ who came, was born for us, and lived for us, died for us, and rose again for us. Our hope is real, and our hope is everlasting. So I invite you this Advent season to be a people of hope, even when hopes seem lost or dashed or far away, to dare to look at the world through the eyes and lens of the hope in Christ. I want to share with you a poem by Pamela Hawkins called Simply Wait. O hope, aperture of God's expansive view, prism through which all true light breaks, illuminating paths and patterns, ways and wanderers. Refract our short-sightedness that we may look to the east with distance vision and find our Advent way. Come, O hope, focus our blurred and distracted sight that we might see clearly the one who is coming. We have been given this gift of sight, of hope, of seeing the world in all its true colors, in all of its true goodness. We are people of hope. No matter what else is going in us or around us, we have hope. So claim hope, O people of Christ. As you come to the manger this year, see the world once again through the lens of hope. See the colors that God has given you and open your heart to the hope that Christ brings. Will you pray with me? Give us the eyes to see, O God, the hope that you have given us. Give us the ability to see the brightness of the hope around us. Give us the hope of Christ. Amen.